From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. North Carolina, West Virginia, Ohio, three more states where polls are now closed in the 2010 midterm elections. They join Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vermont, and Virginia. Already, there are signs that Republicans will make big gains this evening. They've picked up their first former Democratic seat in the Senate. That's in Indiana, where we're predicting Dan Coats is the winner. Also, Republican Rand Paul has won the U.S. Senate seat up for grabs in Kentucky. And we're projecting Republican Rob Portman, the winner of Ohio's seat. That's an open Senate seat vacated by retiring Senator Voinovich. My co-host, Robert Siegel and Melissa Block, are following all these races this evening. Hello again to both of you.
Hello, hi there. Michelle. And that Ohio seat that you're talking about, and polls just closing in Ohio. Right now, a net gain for the Republicans of one seat in the Senate. The number they're looking for, Michelle, of course, we've been talking about this for a while now, is 10 if they were to take control in the
Senator
Senate.
Senator Voinovich, who is retiring, is a Republican. Therefore, this is a hold for Rob Portman, congressman, former
budget director,
a U.S. trade representative in Washington, an old hand coming back home, it would seem, to join the U.S. Senate, where he'll meet Dan Coats, a former U.S. Senator. And the evening is still young. We may see some other return visitors.
We're gonna focus on Ohio now and go to NPR's Don Gagne, who is at Ohio Republican Party headquarters in Columbus. And, Don, let's talk a little bit about this race, this result in the Senate race. We're also, of course, watching the governor's race in Ohio.
Exactly. The Rob Portman victory was the one that everybody expected. He has been well ahead in the polls over Lee Fisher for weeks and weeks and months, really. So that's almost a formality, kind of checking that one off right at the start of the night. But the gubernatorial race between former Congressman John Kasich, Republican, taking on the incumbent Democrat, Ted Strickland, is the one everybody's watching. All the polls had it just kind of razor thin. Exit polling seems to also put it in that too close to call area. So that one could keep us up a while here. We'll see.
And Don, Governor Strickland had tried to make a campaign issue out of the fact that John Kasich, former congressman, went on to work for Lehman Brothers at a time when there's a lot of enmity toward Wall Street. Did it have traction in Ohio?
Well, it feels like it did have some traction. The reason that race is so close, perhaps, compared to the U.S. Senate race, which the Republicans won very, very easily. Again, Ted Strickland, too, has for a long time been a pretty popular figure here. And he's had the support of unions and the traditional Democratic base. That, too, is keeping it close. But, of course, the economy is his biggest enemy.
Yeah, and when we talk about the Ohio governorship, Don, we also pitch our attention toward 2012. A lot of talk already tonight about presidential race in 2012 and the fact that Democrats got Ohio in 2008. It was a huge win for them.
Ohio, of course, was also 4 years before that the last state that really gave a re-election victory to George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. So it is always one of those states that people look to in presidential years. And, people who are in politics here say it really does matter who controls the state house. That is helpful in a presidential year.
And a number of House races in Ohio that we're also following, incumbent Democrats who are considered to be in danger this year. John Bicheri, Steve Driehaus, Mary Jo Kilroy. Results not in on those races. We'll be checking in on those with you throughout the night. Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, Don. And on now to West Virginia, where the polls closed about 10 minutes ago. NPR's Brian Naylor is in Charleston at the campaign headquarters of Joe Manchin. He's the Democratic governor of the state, and he is seeking the Senate seat that was, for longer than anyone else ever held a Senate seat, that of late Senator Robert Byrd. And he's running against businessman John Racey. What do you hear, Brian?
Well, as you say, Robert, the polls just closed about 10 minutes ago, and so we haven't heard much yet. It was a very close race. The final polls gave Manchin a slight advantage, and so we'll see if that holds up in reality. The Secretary of State's office said there was a pretty good turnout today for, as far as off-year elections go, as far as midterm elections go, maybe as high as 50%. As you say, Robert, this was a race between a Republican businessman, John Racey, who'd been on the ballot statewide two previous Senate races and once for governor, never having been too successful, and Joe Manchin, a very popular Democratic governor, popularity ratings up near 70%. The problem for Manchin was that President Obama's popularity ratings in the state are probably about half of his. Obama has never been very popular in West Virginia. He lost the state to John McCain. He lost the Democratic primary to Hillary Clinton. And the Republicans have been trying to tie Manchin to the president, saying he'd be a rubber stamp if he gets elected. And if you think he's doing a good job as governor, we'll keep him as governor.
Well, he says it in turn that if he is a senator, if he's elected senator, he'll want to repeal parts of the health care bill.
That's right, which he calls Obamacare, which most Democrats think is a pejorative term. He also, in this state where coal is obviously a major economic component, said that he opposed the cap and trade law. In fact, he had a TV commercial in which he took a rifle and shot a bullet through a bill that was a target that was labeled cap and trade.
And so far, too early in the evening for us to venture any forecast as to the outcome. Thanks, Brian.
All right, Rob.
Brian Naylor reporting on the Senate race in West Virginia between Governor Joe Manchin and his Republican opponent, John Racey.
And we're going now to our congressional correspondent, Andrea Seabrook, who is at National Republican Campaign Committee headquarters here in Washington. I gather House Minority Leader John Boehner is there or is planning to be there, Andrea. And the question tonight is if and when he will become the man who is the presumed next Speaker of the House.
Yes, apparently he is upstairs. We're actually in a hotel room. I'm in a hotel room watching the election results. We're down in the ballroom, packed with press right now. The doors haven't opened to the partiers yet. It's election night results watch here at Republican headquarters. And we're watching here the big tide. It's the question is the big picture. When will John Boehner become the presumed Speaker in waiting, and that's why he is squirreled away up in a hotel room. There will be other people will speak before then. Chairman Michael Steele, chairman of the RNC, Haley Barbour, the governor of Mississippi, other notable Republicans, John Boehner being the last person to speak tonight, or at least scheduled to be.
And, Andrea, a lot of questions about what direction, presuming that the House does switch parties, goes from Democrat to Republican, what direction the House will take if he is leader. There are going to be a lot of people coming in who are from outside of politics, Tea Party candidates, who may favor a different approach than someone like John Boehner, who's been in Congress for a long time.
Well, that'll be the big thing to watch, I think, especially in these coming weeks, because if the Republicans do take control of the House, the big question will be if if Republicans take a majority with that many anti-establishment candidates, are they going to want to line up behind Mr. Establishment himself, John Boehner? I mean, this is the man who was in the majority, in the leadership the last couple of times that the Republicans were in the majority. And so that's what we'll be watching. But tonight, here at Election Watch and RCC headquarters, it's really just a question of do they take the majority? And everyone here is getting ready for a pretty festive mood here, although the leadership and the aides say they don't want to get too festive because, remember, 9.6% unemployment, not a time that you want to be seen as having a big party.
Okay. NPR congressional correspondent Andrea Seabrook at Republican headquarters here in Washington. And again, the magic number, Michelle, we've been talking about is 39 pickups that the Republicans need to take control of the
House. Net gain of 39.
And it would be 10 if they were to take control of the Senate. So far, they have a net gain of 1.
And Melissa and Robert Siegel are going to keep their eyes on the election and continue reporting tonight. That's Melissa Block and Robert Siegel. They're hosting NPR's election coverage throughout the evening. You'll also find us at npr.org, and there you can find instant news and analysis and track the balance of power in Congress. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.